Hallelujah. Blessed be His wonderful name. Aren't you glad to serve the living God? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. Glad to be here? Well, tonight we're going to just continue on with the thought that we started with this morning, but as if you've known us for a while, you know that tonight will be the application part, right? We laid it out this morning. Tonight we're going to show you how to put it into action. Amen. Because it's not something that we want to just study, look at, and say, wow, that's cool. But it's something that we want to put into action, right? It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Praise His wonderful name. Brother Joel, we're sure glad you're with us. Amen. We never know when our time is up. And we know that every one of us, you know, the Lord's got it written in His calendar. And all of us have an appointment, right? I'm just hoping we all go together. Right? I hope I don't have to preach another funeral. I'll do it. If I, you know, Sister Baker and I were, you know, I'm aware of my own mortality, right? There's a guy that I worked with at Raytheon, and it just seems like it's becoming much more common these days, but there was a guy that I worked with that was, he would do board layouts for us, and he had to be, I don't know, he was several years younger than me. He just went on, to just passed on here a few days ago, and it's just, you know, every place that I look and every place that I read, you know, if you go, you know, visit some school website, it's this one's gone and that one's gone and this one's gone, right? It just comes a season in all of our lives where it's going home time, right? And we just never know when that time is. So it's just a reminder to each and every one of us to redeem the time, you know? Just don't take it for granted. Don't take one another for granted, right? We know that God's ways are perfect. His timing is perfect. And so we're not questioning any of that, but we just don't know how much time we have. So let's make the best of the time that we do have. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thou heardest my voice. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I think of all the excuses that people give for not having time to pray or to read their Bible or this or that. Jonah had all the time in the world to pray, right? The only Bible he had was what the Lord had already revealed to him, the word of the Lord. But it was with him and he'd been applying it. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He's saying those that are testifying of circumstances, they're forsaking their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving.
Amen.
He's still in the fish. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's still in the fish. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. So he spoke unto the Lord. The Lord spoke to the fish. And the fish threw up. And vomited Jonah upon dry land. Isn't that wonderful? Didn't vomit him into the surf, and he still, you know, is tumbling around, and you know, he's still got to make it to shore somehow. But vomited out Jonah upon dry land. That's the God we serve. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for this evening service, Lord, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, for our failures, our slowness of heart at times, our mistakes, Lord. We truly want to do our best for you. We truly want to serve you with all of our hearts. And we're not counting on those things as being our ticket into the afterlife, our ticket into the pearly gates. Lord, we're counting on you for that. But Lord, because we love you and because of your great love expressed towards us, we want to do all that we can to bring honor to your name, to surrender to your great plan and allow your word to be fulfilled in our lives, Lord. And Father, if our lives were to come in contact with someone else and along the way that is searching, along the way that's hungering or thirsting, and Father, that we could somehow be used to be a help, to be an encouragement, to testify, to be quick to and ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. Lord, that would be our desire. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. And Lord, we thank you for the reminder of just how frail life is in one sense. We know that it's all in your hands, and we know that nothing escaped your notice, and we know that you've got things all planned out and mapped out. But Lord, we don't know all the times and the seasons. We just trust you that your ways are perfect, Lord. But we want to be faithful, Lord. We want to redeem the time that you've given us, and we want to live each and every day with that kind of a realization, that kind of an understanding that this could be the last opportunity that we have to serve you, to serve one another, to talk about your goodness and your mercy, to surrender and allow your will to be done in our lives. So Lord, we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, those that are here, those that are listening in, those that will listen in. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we see that Jonah was faced with circumstances on every side. That's really the best way to put it. Just everywhere he looked with his natural senses, there were circumstances, and they were very compelling and very, you know, circumstances that the human mind couldn't argue with and couldn't find a way through or a way out of. And yet, Jonah refused to observe the circumstances, recognizing his own words that these are lying vanities, right? It's he's trapped, right? He's in these confinements, as it were, but he's not testifying of those things because you know, to testify of those things is to accept them. So friends, the other thing that I want us to notice before we go too much further in this tonight, this isn't day one of a Christian walk, right? Day one, you're not expected to, you know, be down the, get swallowed by a whale and be wrapped with seaweed and be in pitch black darkness and, you know, just ignore all the circumstances and testify and what have you. This is not day one of a Christian walk. But this is a learned behavior that must be practiced. It must be put into action, and that day will come where you'll have that kind of faith, that kind of a walk, that kind of a relationship, that kind of an understanding, that kind of an application of the word in your life. So there's two things at a minimum that are going on here. First, Jonah had to put his trust in the word of the Lord alone. And is therefore, he's familiar with the word so that he can draw on it in any particular situation. So he's not a stranger to the word. The word comes to a prophet, and he's also a student of the word. So he's been applying the word in his life on a daily basis. Secondly, Jonah wasn't denying that he was in the belly of a whale or a fish. He told us that, right? So he's not denying that, but he wasn't focusing on the circumstances, and he wasn't giving life to the circumstances. In other words, you know, some people can be so deep and so descriptive. I call it, you know, going through the first, second, and third pole of their circumstances, right? They can get so deep and describe it to you in such detail. And Brother Andy and I were discussing this a year or two before, where sometimes people are describing their circumstances to us, and then we tell them, but the word of the Lord says, and they say, but you don't understand. You know, it's this, and it's that. And it's like, wow, that's the biggest boogeyman I ever seen in my life, right? There's no hope. What do you want? You want my sympathy? Right? We have one another's sympathy. If we could go through something for somebody else, we'd step in the way, right? But we can't. We all have to go through these things. And we're all trusting in the Lord, right? But I don't need to hear. People will come up sometimes in prayer, and they're just convinced that I have to know every little last detail of their trial, right? I don't have to hardly know anything, right? What I do need to know is how to get you out of that. What I do need to know is, what is the word of the Lord concerning this situation? What's the promise that God has given us? So, if I was wanting somebody to sympathize with me, I'd want them to sympathize with me on the word portion. I'd want them to be schooled on the word portion. I'd want them to know what God's solution is to the problem, not how big the problem is. So when Jonah found himself in this trial, he remembered what Solomon had prayed. We just quoted it this morning, but we'll read it here from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And the Lord is true to his word. The Lord will keep his word, right? In this particular instance, you know, Jonah he's probably 2,300, 2,200 miles away from the city of Jerusalem. I don't know how it is that he knew what direction to turn. Inside of that fish. But turn he did. So Jonah didn't stop to observe and to focus on his circumstances. He could have given us greater detail. He could have said, well, you know, the tonsil was hanging there and kept smacking me in the head. And, you know, it smelled like this. Or he could have went into a whole bunch more details, right? But he didn't stop to observe or to focus on the circumstances. He went to the word of the Lord, and he considered what the word of the Lord declared. And he didn't stop to consider that Solomon prayed this prayer, and that Solomon also later on backslid, wondering if God would still honor that prayer. His trust was in the Lord. And he put the word of the Lord before his trial. And he applied the word of the Lord to his trial. So this reminds me, you know, of the two spies who came back to Kadesh Barnea after they went over and spied out the land, and they gave their report of the land. All of the spies that went to spy out the land, they were all message followers. They were all following the message of Moses. But only two spies put the word of the Lord before their circumstances. They did not testify of the giants when they gave their reports. They said only what the word declared, and that was their reality. And what the word declared is what the message had already declared, what the word of the Lord had already said concerning the land. It's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. It's ours for the taking. Let's go and take it. So they said only what the word declared, and that was their reality. Now, did they see the giants in the land? Well, of course they did. But they didn't. What would be the point in testifying of that? If the land is theirs, what point would it be for God to give them a land and then they can't possess it? Why would God give you and I exceeding great and precious promises that we can't possess? Well, he wouldn't, friends. It makes no sense. There'd be no point in that. So we need to be clear on just what speaking the word is. Speaking the word is saying the same thing that another has already declared. Even in the examples that we have of the manifestation of the third pole by the spoken word, every example involves the Lord speaking something and then a man repeating what has already been spoken. It's not a man just thinking up something and saying, I'll try this or I'll try that. It's God bringing that word, God bringing that inspiration, and then it's a man speaking. So this walk of faith, it's a disciplined walk. And it requires steadfastness, and it requires effort, and it requires diligence, and it requires sincerity, and it requires focus. But it's not beyond the capability of any of us here. How many believes that? Amen. We all start out at beginning steps, and we have beginning trials, and then our trials increase in complexity and hardness, if you will. But so does our stature increase, and so does our understanding of the word increase, and our application of the word increase, and our skill at applying the word increases. So it requires the constant filtering of the sensory inputs and thoughts by the word. And I can't overstress this. And I don't know how many times I've preached this. And I don't know how many times that, sometimes with some people, it's as if I've, why were you saying amen to all these things that I was preaching if you're not going to, if it doesn't apply to you? Right? I get all the stories about how hard it is and what the trial is. And it's like, but what are you doing about it? What do you believe is the solution? Do you want me to wave a magic wand over you? Or do you want to apply the word in your life so that you don't need a magic wand? What God has given you is sufficient. And each one of us needs to apply it in our lives. We're here to help in any way that we can. So I don't want to discourage anybody. I don't want to make anybody nervous. But I'm not talking about you if you're coming up for prayer. But if you come up as if you've never, this is all brand new to you and you've been here for 30 years, well, something's wrong with that picture. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we've got all these inputs that are coming into our minds, from our five natural senses, from our five spiritual senses. And we've got to run every one of those through the Word because they're not all telling us the truth. Oh, they'll tell us the truth sometimes, but you wouldn't know if it's true or not except you run it through the Word. And if it's not from the word, we want to cast it down because the battleground is in the mind. And the only way we're going to overcome and the only way we can discern those thoughts is by the word. The word is what discerns, right? I've run into many over the years that ask, well, how will I know if it's in the word or not? Well, let's say that you bought a car. If you want to know how the car operates and what you can and can't do with it, where would you look? Do you think the owner's manual might be a good start? I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm not trying to be ridiculous, but there's a reason why you get an owner's manual.
Right.
And I will admit, I don't know if it's partly because of our age or our laziness or what, but I will admit that when Sister Baker and I bought the Honda, the guy says, "You want us to walk you through all the little features?" Oh, no, no. Just we want to go, right? And to this day, so it's a 2014, this is a 2025, there's things that I still don't understand. And I've told Sister Baker how many times we need to take this manual. I mean, there's like three of them, right? We need to take this into the house and read it, you know, figure out how the hard drive works in the entertainment center and how this works or that works. It doesn't need to be a mystery. We'll do that sometime. Today, as we're coming to church, a message comes up on the screen, and it says, "You've got a new message. Would you like to review it? Would you like to see it?" Well, it's never done that before, you know. And my wife says, "Well, how do we make that go away?" I said, "I don't know. What are you asking me for?" I didn't even know it had that feature. What you need to know about your vehicle is in the owner's manual. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that the Word of God is man's owner's manual for his earthly home. That's your manual, right? And everything that you have need of for your journey is in that manual. Most of the time, we want God to come speak something to us, say something to us, whatever. His Word is the best tool that He could give you. And there's an answer for every question. There's a solution to every problem, and it's in the manual. But you got to read the manual, right? You won't find all knowledge of the universe in that manual, because that's not the purpose for it. It isn't the manual for the universe. It's the manual for your life, for your earthly journey, for your earthly home. But you will find the keys to your home in that Bible, and you will find the keys and the authority for your dominion in the Word, and you'll find it in a description of, you'll find in that Word a description of everything that belongs to you, right? Your full inheritance is described in that book. And if you needed anything else for your journey, God would have supplied it. Friends, He's already done everything He's going to do. He's already done it, right? He's not going to give us more word. The word that He's given us is the word that He's given us. But it's up to us to put it into action. It's up to us to claim it. It's up to us to walk in it. It's up to us to put it into action. So you'll find in it a description of everything that belongs to you. And you say, "But what about the message, Brother Baker?" Well, what is the message? It's the revelation of what's already in the book. It is light that's shining on your owner's manual so that you can read you can understand what it is that you're reading. It is the placing of that opened and illuminated owner's manual back into your hands so that you can put it into action. But it's not going to do you any good if you leave it sitting on your shelf, collecting dust somewhere, or if you expect somebody else to read it for you all the time. And certainly there's a portion of that we're in expectation of, but you've got to be eating that book yourself on a daily basis. Some people complain that three services a week is too much. Well, if you're feeding on the Word every day, how could three services a week be too much? You're supposed to be feeding on it daily. Brother Branham put it this way. He said, "A Christian reads their Bible and prays every day." And then he says, "They have to." So the Word must be applied to your life in order for you to overcome your enemies and in order for you to possess all your promises. Doctors practice medicine, right? We should be practicing our faith in the Word by applying it to the circumstances in our lives. Amen. When you got saved, you confessed your salvation, and then you began walking in it. Is that right? Healing is only a little different. It's similar in so many ways, but it's a little different in other ways. You confess your healing, and then you walk in it. But then sickness will knock on your door again down the road. And you must confess it again. And friends, you can battle with certain things your entire walk. You're on, and Satan will try to convince you that you don't have enough faith and you're a failure because you've got something that comes back and you have to battle it again. And then you get the victory. And then it comes back and you have to battle it again, right? Well, where does it say in the Bible that you'll only battle with something once? The fact of the matter is you will battle, you'll get the victory, and then you'll battle again, and you'll get the victory, and you'll battle again, and you'll get the victory. You see, these bodies were not built to never wear out. Jesus became like us in like manner. He took on the form of flesh, but it was not sinful flesh. It didn't come through sexual desire. But his body was aging. How many knows that? Amen. He looked like, they said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old. How could you say that, before Abraham? 50? He was 32. But he looked like he was approaching 50, right? Because of the toll that the stress, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, because he was battling daily, right? So these bodies were never built to, they weren't built to never wear out. If that was the case, I wouldn't need a new body, right? But God does want you to walk around in health, even as your soul prospers and is in good health. He wants you to walk around. He's paid the price for that, right? These bodies are time limited. And we all have an appointment with destiny. But we can live in peace, and we can be full of joy, and we can know the will of God for our lives, and we can have victory, and we can be delivered from the bondage of corruption that was in the flesh through lust. And we can be partakers of that divine nature on the inside. And we can manifest the character of sons and daughters of God after the image and likeness of Christ the Lord. Even though these bodies are heading, friends, the moment that you're born, your body's heading towards the dust. It came from the dust and it's on a slow path. For some people, a quicker path, some a slower path. But it's on a path to be reunited with the dust. We do know that we don't have to die sick. Now, if somebody dies sick, it doesn't mean they were an unbeliever. But I'm saying we don't have to die sick. I believe God could take us when our time comes without sickness. Divine healing isn't limited to young people. In other words, us older ones, we need more divine healing the higher we go up the mountain. Healing has been purchased for us. And it is the bread of the children. And when you start reaching certain ages, you start praying for things that you didn't even know existed in your body. You start hurting in places that, well, what's there, you know? Healing has been purchased, and it's the bread of the children. And yet, a sinner can receive healing and not even be believing in the Lord, but be believing in healing, right? How much more should a believer be able to benefit from the bread of the children? The message expectations, I've got about 15 quotes here. I hope you can handle it here tonight. But these are all powder packed, like gunpowder packed. These are good ones. Not that there's bad ones, but they'll charge your faith. Okay? If Jonah backslid the belly of a whale, 5 miles deep. Wait a minute, 5 miles deep. 5,280 feet in a mile, 25,000, 26,000 feet. Wow, how could you even survive? Wouldn't your head blow up? And don't try and think about it. Don't try and figure it out. If Jonah backslid, the belly of a whale, 5 miles deep, whale's belly all around him, could look towards the natural earthly temple that was 2,000 plus miles away, through a prayer of an earthly man that had been prayed and believed that God heard it, how much more ought you and I as Christians, bound with diseases, look towards the heavens where Christ sets at the right hand of God with his own blood, making intercessions now for anything? Symptoms, they are lying vanities. Don't receive them. Don't have nothing to do with them. If you look to them, you're looking away from God. We look at the unseen, not at what we see. No one could look at what they see and be a Christian. No one could look at what they see. Of course, he's taking the extreme case here, right? If that's all that you're looking at, how can you be a Christian? No one can look at what they see and be a Christian. You've got to believe in the things that's unseen, for it's by faith that you are healed, not by sight or by feeling. Now, friends, faith would have no purpose and faith would have no meaning if we could see everything, right? You wouldn't need faith. But faith sees what the natural sight can't see. Faith declares what God's word says is true. So Jonah, he couldn't even see inside the whale's belly, right? I don't think there was a little flashlight, or I don't think he had, you know, he went down in the water with a torch in his hands. So how is he going to look towards the temple? He changed his view from the whale's belly to the temple of the Lord. And he looked through faith's eyes instead of through his natural eyes. And so that simply means to turn from your troubles and instead look to your promises. It's that simple. Don't make it complicated. You can tell me and describe in great detail all of your problems, but that has nothing to do with your solution. That has nothing, that won't help you at all. And there aren't big problems and little problems. There aren't problems that can't be solved and problems that can. There's just problems. And there's the Word of God. And the Word of God is your solution. So shouldn't we focus our time on the solution rather than the problem? You know, I've ran into people along the way. It's just, you know, it boggles your mind sometimes, but I'm convinced that some people don't want to get better. I'm convinced sometimes that people would rather you feel sorry for them, for their circumstances, than to see them set free. That's a sad state to be in, but true nevertheless. So your overcoming depends on you looking to the promise. So if Jonah could look toward a man-constructed temple some 2,000 miles away, how much more should we be able to look to the heavens and look to our high priest? I don't have to know what direction. Just in my mind's eye, I just know that I'm not looking for some earthly solution. I'm looking to my Father. I'm looking to my intercessor. I'm looking to my sacrifice, right? And he's always there. And he always hears my prayer. So let me ask you tonight, is there anybody here that's as bad off as Jonah tonight? If you raise your hand, anybody in the belly of a whale or 5 miles deep? Just consider his circumstances for a moment. He knew that he took a ship to Tarsus instead of going over land to Nineveh. I don't even think it was today that it just dawned on me that he didn't even need to get on a ship, because where he was going was over land. But he decides to get on a ship. He knew that he took a ship to Tarsus instead of going overland to Nineveh, yet what did he look to? And what did he look away from? We look tonight to our high priest, who never fails, right? Which would be beneficial for me, to look to my high priest or to look at my problem? Which would, you know, if God forbid I ended up with a flat tire, would it benefit me to go out and, on the street and just stare at it and, you know, describe in great detail how flat it is and how big the hole is? And, would that do me any good? No. By faith, I'll dial my phone. And by faith, I believe that I'm talking to somebody that I can't see, that I'm going to connect with somebody, and they're going to come and bring me a tire or change my tire, whatever it might be, right? I'll probably do it myself, but you get the picture, right? It won't do me any good to just stare at the tire, right? That's not going to solve my problem. And what benefit would it be for me to spread throughout the whole church how flat my tire was? Wouldn't it be better for me to spread through the whole church how God fixed my problem? Amen. Hallelujah. So we look tonight to our high priest, and he never fails. Jesus never once asked us to understand anything, but instead he asked us to believe. And you believe by faith, not by sight. You believe because God reveals it to you by faith, not because you can see it with your natural senses. Again, in expectations, he says, what if someone came up in the morning to your door, express agent, and throwed a whole box, a whole basket full of rattlesnakes and had your name on them and said, here they are, they're yours. Sign right here. You know that they're there. Just like you know your symptoms is there. Now this is just good, solid, sane preaching here. You know your symptoms are there. Why would you ask for a prayer if you didn't have any symptoms? Well, I feel like something's coming over me. I have no evidence, but no, you have symptoms. So you know the symptoms is there. He says, if you receive them, they're yours. But you don't have to take them. You can say, I don't want them. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Sister Baker say, you know, I don't have time for this. I've got this to do and that to do. I'm feeling a little something coming into my body, but I've refused to accept it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to take them. You say, I don't want them. Right. Say, your name's on them. And you say, I don't want them. Right. I won't have them. Amen. That's even better. It's not that you just don't want them. You refuse to accept it. I will not have them. He can stand there. So here's the guy trying to deliver them to you. He can stand there and argue as much as he wants to. But until you take them and sign for them, they belong to the express company until you sign for them. You know, that's so simple, but it's also true. You don't have to accept something that comes to your door. Right? Until you take them and sign for them, they belong to the express company until you sign for them. Don't sign for nothing the devil brings. You say, well, there it is, though I refuse to have it. That's right. Take it back. Have nothing to do with it. If you won't testify that you got it, when you testify that you still have your sickness, the devil keeps it with you. But refuse to testify of it. Refuse to testify of it. Don't go telling everybody in the church and looking for sympathy. Refuse to testify of it. And say, I won't have it. No, sir. I refuse to accept it. Don't sign for anything that the devil brings to you. You know, that'll work on depression. That'll work on discouragement. It'll work on anything. You say, well, it's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is easy for me to say because I put it into action. Because God's word declares it. The devil wants you to believe that it won't work. It will work. But you've got to look at what your approach has been. Right? Refuse to testify of it. Brother Branham saw a man in a vision that had a three-cornered club. It was a club that had, you know, three sides to it. And this man, this woman would get up and this man would repeatedly beat her down with this club. And of course, he was telling us that the woman was a type of the church that was being beaten down. And it was that Trinitarian doctrine that was, you know, every time she would try and rise up, he would beat her down with that three-cornered club. Every time she'd get up, he'd hit her again with that thing. And Brother Branham said, I finally had enough of it in this vision. And he said, and I said, you leave her alone. And he said, when I said that, immediately faith muscles, his faith muscles began to grow. But it didn't, they didn't begin to grow until he took a stand. He said, immediately faith muscles began to grow. Faith muscles are developed, friends, when we face our mountains. When we stand our ground and say, I refuse, I'm going forward. There's no, I don't have a reverse gear. And I don't have any armor to protect my backside. So I'm gonna keep going this direction. I refuse to go back. Turn your faith loose and let it operate. Again, in expectations, he says, oh my, that's when you're getting faith. Give your faith a chance. Turn it loose. Unbridle it. Let it work. You've got it all bound down with traditions. Turn it loose. Cut it loose. Let God have his way with you. Somebody's word is right. Either what you're looking at or what God says. Satan can be pretty convincing, but he's a liar. God's word is true. Believe it. All right. But the first time you testify of your sickness, it brings you right down to that realm again. You signed for it. Refuse to sign for it. Testify of what you believe. Friends, another example of that would be, box of rattlesnakes coming to your house and the UPS guy's delivering it to you. And he says, isn't that your name that's written on the box? And you look at it and say, yeah, I'm not arguing that that's my name that's written there. I'm just arguing that I never ordered them. I don't care whose name, I refuse to accept it. Right? The devil will say, well, doesn't this run through your family tree? Right? Your name is on there. Right? Your family name is marked right there. I don't care what it says. I don't care. I refuse to accept it. If my whole family dies of a heart attack, I refuse to accept the heart attack. Brother Branham gives us a personal testimony of how he overcome a stomach problem. Continuing on with that same, in paragraph 32, he says, when I had stomach trouble so bad till even the doctor said that he went to Mayo Clinic, and I accepted him upon this scripture. He's the high priest of my confession. I said, I refuse to testify anymore, nothing but what God says. I believe his word. Jesus died to heal us. Every one of you is healed. Every one of you is healed. Every one of you is healed right now. Jesus has already healed you. You just have to confess it and believe it. Friends, he's already saved you, but you still have to confess it and receive it. That's right. By his stripes, you were, past tense, healed. That's when he did it at Calvary. He paid the price. That's when he overcome all sickness and sin and all at Calvary. For you, just like a table set, it's there. Only thing you have to do is go eat. You have to accept it. You have to believe it in your heart. You have to confess it. And he's the high priest of your confession. When I started to eat and I swallowed the first mouthful, the doctor said one mouthful, if he eats it, will be indigestion. Boy, you'd die right now, he says. So his stomach was so tore up and it was in such a fragile condition that he had to eat just, you know, some very, very bland things, and even that in kind of a limited condition, right? He says, so He read the scripture where it says, if there be any sick or afflicted amongst you, call the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So he said, okay, my pastor, I'm going to call my pastor, and I'm going to have my pastor come and lay hands on me. He never said, he's a real faithful pastor, he's been in the message a long time, or he believes everything perfect. The word says, call the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So he said, Reverend Davis, pastor, would you lay your hands on me? Would you pray for me? And he did. And Brother Branham went out testifying that he was healed. Right? He still had symptoms. But the word said, they shall lay hands on the sick. Right? They shall anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So he held on to that promise, and he had a battle that came with it. So he's describing that. He said, so he goes home, and he says, I'm healed, I'm healed. And he goes home, and he says, you know what I'm going to eat? The doctor said, if I eat these certain things, it'll probably kill me. My body is in such a fragile state from this war that's been waging in my body. He says, so he went home. And he said, I eat beans. Anybody that's ever struggled with stomach trouble, you know that beans is not a good thing for you to eat, right? All the fiber and what have you, it wreaks havoc. And I'm familiar with it. I know what it's like. He says, and I eat cornbread. Oh, my. That's adding insult to injury. And onions. Man, you got stomach trouble and you eat onions? You'll be spitting them up for a couple of days. You'll burp 48 hours later, and you'll still taste onions because it causes such a problem to your system. He says, "Yes, sir." And of course, the cornbread, it was greasy. He liked the corner portion. I do too. That crunchy, greasy part of it. He said, "Oh, that's terrible." Well, you're not a Southerner. Usually there was some bacon grease that was used. And, everything in it's to clog your arteries and everything else. But, man, what a way to go. He said, I eat beans. I eat cornbread. I eat onions. Yes. Yes, sir. And I took it and I asked a blessing over it. And I got it in my mouth and I chewed it up and I swallowed it. And the devil said, you'll die. And here it come right back up. And I held my hand over my mouth. And I swallowed it back again. Come on, friends. And I said, no, sir. Uh-uh. I refuse. Now, if he would have gave in to that, the battle would have been over. He'd have lost. He would have went and told everybody a crybaby story. I thought God healed me, but then he didn't. And, poor me. And I guess it's just my lot in life to go through this. But he said, no, I'm taking God at his word. Amen. This is what God's word declared. And I don't understand. And I don't know how long I'm going to have to do this, but God's word said, call the elders, have them anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. God's my healer. The devil will also tell you, well, you're just whack-a-mania. Why are you eating that? Or he'll come up with some other unscriptural thing like, don't tempt the devil. Can somebody show me where in the Bible it says don't tempt the devil? Beware. It says don't tempt the Lord your God. Now we're not picking a fight with the devil. We're in a fight with the devil. We're not challenging him, but we are applying God's word in our lives. And we don't have to back up. He does. I've got promises. He has one promise. When this is over, he's burned up. He's in the lake of fire. He ceases to exist. Eternal separation from God. That's his promise. But I've got exceeding great and precious promises. And I'm going to cash in on them along the way. I held my hand over my mouth, swallowed it back again, and I said, no, sir, uh-uh. I refuse. No, sir. Somebody's right. Listen to this. Somebody's right. either what my system said or what God said. I'm looking at what he said. Now, friends, to the world, that sounds delusional. But that's a child of God. That's a faith walk. You step out, and Satan will bring up evidence. Satan will bring up symptoms. Satan will focus on the problem. He'll put the spotlight on the problem. My wife and her mother and her sister, they all worked together at Lompoc Hospital. And we'd come over for dinner over to her mom's house, and her sister was still living at home at the time. And so what do you think they talked about around the table? They did the same thing that most of us do. They talked about work, right? So, you know, sometimes it would be, yeah, and they brought this guy in, and, you know, he just was in a bar, and this guy got in a fight with him, and then the guy that he was fighting kicked him in the head, and so when he came in, there was this gray stuff that was coming out of his ears. It's like, I don't want to hear that. And it's dinner time. And they're just, you know, real clinical about it. I get it. I realize that you can't take it personal or it'll drive you crazy. I realize that you have to be somewhat detached. And I realize they tell jokes in the operating room many times because, you know, if you go through the first, second, and third pull of everything, it'll kill you, right? And you're not going to be able to help the patient. So you have to be detached at a certain level. I get that. But my wife would hear about certain ailments, symptoms and conditions. And before long, she would see all of those in our kids. And I'd have to explain to her, honey, you're just putting this all together. You're just seeing what you want to see, right? We laugh at that, but how many of us get on the internet and do self-diagnosis of our conditions, right? And what good does that do us? The solution is always the same. We need to self-diagnose, all right, but we need to use the word to do it. Let the word diagnose our condition. He says, I went out on the street, in the street. So he'd eaten this food, swallowed it, it came right back up. Put his hand over his mouth and said, You're not, my own body is waging a war. My own body's resisting what I'm claiming. He put his hand over his mouth and said, you're not spitting this up. I went out on the street and the hot water running down my mouth. And I was singing, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. He said, someone said, how you feeling? Listen to this now. And I said, wonderful. Blip. Wonderful. Are you healed? Sure. How are you feeling? Fine. Anything wrong? Nothing. And go back, do it again. It comes back up. He swallows it back down. How are you feeling? Fine. Are you healed? Sure. And I stayed right with it. Listen to this. Day after day, week after week. Come on, friends.
Come on.
God's word is either true or it isn't. Day after day, week after week, and I was healed one morning. God's word is true. Nobody can ever cast it away from me, but the word said so. And the word of God will defeat Satan any place, any time, anywhere, and on any condition. That's right. That's what it is. It's God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Believe it. Now the proof that you believe it is when you'll stand on it in the face of all opposition, when your own body is lying to you and the symptoms are so real, but you continue to stand there and say, God's my healer. Glory to God. Expectations. He says, gifts are added to stimulate faith, but faith comes by hearing by the word. That's where faith comes,
by hearing the word of salvation. It's just like this, Jesus, but God said, come unto me, all the ends of the earth, and drink. A little tree, when it's planted in the earth, a little apple tree about that big, it's stuck right out in the ground. Every apple that will ever be on that tree, every blossom, every leaf, every limb that will ever be on that tree is in it right then. If it isn't, where does it come from? Now, the tree is put in the ground, and the only thing the tree does is drink. It drinks, it just drinks and drinks until it swells out and swells out until it pushes out limbs, blossoms, apples, and Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life, and we are planted in Him by the Holy Spirit, and then we just drink from Him. Every person that's a Christian, the devil won't care how much you come to Christ as long as you don't drink. You can stand at the table and your mouth watering and say, well, I'm here, but you're afraid to turn your faith loose.
Right.
The devil doesn't care if you come to Christ. What worries him is when you drink and then push out. Because he knows what's going to take place. Help us, Lord, to take you at your word and not listen to that lying devil. Again, in Who is God, he says, when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. Not somebody else's, your confession. Right? If you say you're a drunkard and want a drink, don't worry. You'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and you want to sin, well, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring your testimony, will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, you confess it, and God will make your body obey your confession. For he's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, now with his own blood to make intercessions for any confession upon anything that he died for. Friends, it's a matter of you making up your mind tonight. Forget about your past. Forget about your family tree. Forget about your nature. Forget about everything that you think that you know up to this moment in time, and realize this certain condition, this certain problem, whatever it is, God gave me his word.
Amen.
And I'm going to confess that from this point on, and I will walk in it.
Amen.
And I will face God, and if I still have that problem and I face him, I'm going to face him and say, God, I stood on your word. Friends, he'll honor his word. He'll bring it to pass. But it takes that kind of stand. You can't halfway believe. You either believe or you don't. And if you believe, there will be a battle. But how many can say tonight it's well worth it? The victory is so much more worth. He's the high priest of your confession. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father now with his own blood to make intercessions for any confession upon anything that he died for. This is true. He's literally waiting to act upon your confession. And there's nothing that he can't do. Now, friends, it's okay to lay hands on those that are sick. It's okay to anoint with oil. But this is simply, what I'm talking about here tonight, is just taking God at his word.
Right.
It's just you believing God's word.
Right.
You don't need a gift.
Right.
You don't need some certain preacher to come around.
Right.
You don't have to hope for something in the future. It's you taking God at his word. And it's not beyond any of us here tonight. We just need a little encouragement now and then, don't we? Again, from Show Us the Father, he says, I'm thinking now that the best doctors the United States has got, 2 years ago, said, Reverend Branham, there's not a chance for you. So he went to, you know, Mayo Clinic, and Mayo Clinic is, they had a different approach. It was kind of a whole patient approach, I guess, is what you would call it, you know. And they, I think at that time it was just in Rochester, Minnesota. But the approach at that time was, you know, let's bring in this kind of a specialist, and let's bring in that kind of specialist. Let's bring in all the different specialists and let them come together and solve this problem as a whole person problem, right? Okay, you know, in other words, you could go to a, today, you could go to a, you know, what do they call the stomach doctor, you know, that stick things down and try and look at, come on, audience participation. Huh? Okay, whatever. They'll do an endoscopy on you, right? I've had a couple of those done, and they'll look down there and say, yep, it's inflamed. Yep. And believe it or not, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I was told by the very same doctor, go on a low fiber diet, right? But you're also seeing this doctor that's, you know, sending a scope up another direction and, you know, looking in your colon. You need to be on a high fiber diet. And it's like, well, how can I be on a low fiber, high fiber diet? You guys need to get together and figure this out. I can't, which one am I supposed to listen to? Right? If I go on the high fiber diet, my stomach is going to still be inflamed. Right? Go to the doctor. He's, yep, it's inflamed. Okay. Now what? Do you have a solution? Any idea? Well, do you drink alcohol? No. Do you smoke? No. Well, what do? Go to church. Well, I can't see where that would hurt your stomach. Well, yep, it's inflamed. Well, thanks. I think I knew that. So, Mayo Clinic, they got all these, you know, they even had, you know, ones that study the mind and, you know, the strains that you have and emotionally, the stresses that you're going through. And they would look at you as a whole person, right? So Brother Branham went to, after he'd been to so many different doctors, he went to Mayo Clinic. And Mayo Clinic said, you know, sorry, you've got two different natures that are in you, right? You're part Irish and you're part Native American, right? You've got these two different natures in you, and one of them wars against the other, right? And there's no cure. There's nothing we can do. So you will have stomach trouble the rest of your life, right? It's just, sorry, Mr. Branham, that's the human grab bag, and that's just how it is. There's nothing we can do, right? He says, I went to the best doctors in the United States. 2 years ago, they said, Reverend Branham, there's not a chance for you. But every 7 years, it would come, and he'd, for a whole year, he'd have a real bad episode, and then he'd be okay for another 6 years, and it was in 7-year cycles. Reverend Branham, there's not a chance for you. Oh, it makes my heart sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. There, sitting in the Mayo Clinic, they said, you broke yourself, boy. You'll never come out of it. He had nervous breakdowns, and they said, there's no cure for that. And I turned the old word, he says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And I said, Father, place them in my heart. I shall water them with faith day and night. Tonight I stand in perfect health. Once a blind man led me by my arms. I couldn't see a thing, just objects in front of me moving. Only daylight was dark. And tonight my eyes test 20/20. Why? I took God's word. No one with a gift to cast the spirit away. The word will do it. Faith in God's word. Amen. Friends, here he'd seen God just perform miracle after miracle. Deliverance after deliverance. And he's standing there in the pulpit and his toes are curled up because his stomach is tight and he's trying to hold things down. Yet that gift wasn't for him. Right? We think, man, if we just had a gift, which is greater, a gift or the word? The high priest will make your body line up to your confession. We've got people sitting around in this hour waiting for another gift. The word is your gift. Satan is defeated by the word. Friends, the gifts of God are a wonderful thing. But there are cases of just millions, thousands of cases of people that were healed that ended up going to hell. Right? People that stood in a prayer line and benefited from a gift. I'm not speaking against the gift. There's a purpose for it. And it's a wonderful thing. But a gift won't change your life. But the word will. Again, in the works that I do bear witness of me, he says, we must believe in him. As we believe, we must act on our confession. We can't say it conscientiously unless we really believe it. And then if we really believe it, then we can say it with all of our hearts and know that God answers our prayer and gives us the desire of our hearts. So it's not a make-believe. It's a believe-believe. If we don't drink, the devil doesn't even get out of bed. If we don't apply God's word, devil doesn't even bother us. If we don't drink and then push out, we will live mediocre lives at best. We will talk about the goodness of the Lord and how good the Lord is, but we won't be eyewitnesses to it. Somebody must believe and confess. So we need to say, I'm only going to say what the word says. I'm going to keep my mouth shut otherwise. Again, as I was with Moses, I've thought of this, he says, if I could pray and God would do something here in the supernatural realms to let you know that he was present, and then surely you would take my word for it, see? You'd take my word. And then I'd tell you that he's out there and he would heal you of any of you that would confess him to be your healer. He says, remember, he can never do nothing for you until first you say he's done it. Believe him and accept it and testify of it. Did you know that? He says. He's the high priest of what? Confession. Hebrews 3:1. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession upon our confession. See, we've got to believe it, accept it, and confess it. And he's before the Father to make good anything that we confess in the redemptive blessings, of course. Again, he says, now Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and it shall be given to you. Is that right? And verily, verily, I say unto you, John 14:12, if you would say to this mountain in your heart, be cast, be plucked up and cast away or removed and doubt it not, but believing that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. See, whatsoever he saith, what is that, Mark 16? Whatsoever you confess, if in your heart tonight, if you're dying with heart trouble, if you've got cancer, if you, with the appropriated faith, if you believe with all your heart and just something is anchored there that says, I believe Jesus Christ, I believe him with all my heart, and I now accept him as my healer, and I believe that he heals me, and from your soul you believe that, then say, I am healed. Then say, I am healed. I am healed. Whatever it is, I am healed. Let him that's weak say, I am strong. See, just say in your heart now, I am strong. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. And never have any negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. God is under obligation. Or Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father to accept you. For he's sitting there, the high priest of your confession, to make good before the Father anything that he died for, that you're confessing that he done. There you are. He says, now divine healing cannot be any plainer than that. It is to the weakest. You do it. And remember, God's word will defeat Satan anywhere, any place, any time, any condition. Don't look at him. Look at the promise. Look at how big your God is. Only believe. He says, I remember when I was healed of stomach trouble. Satan said, well, you better not eat. Said, because the doctor said, if you eat, you'll die. I have an ulcerated stomach. And he said, it was just one big bloody ulcer. But the Lord said he healed me. So I had to take somebody's word, so I took God's word. And so, it liked to burn me up. Hot water running out of my mouth. 2 or 3 days, I was going around holding my stomach like this and said, how you feeling, Mr. Branham? And I'd say, I feel fine. Tamping away like that, someone would say, you lied. I did not. I was making a confession. Confess means to say the same thing. By his stripes, I was healed. That does it. See, I was making a confession. And so Satan said to me, he said, you're bringing a reproach. And I said, now looky here, old fella. If you enjoy hearing me testify, we'll just stick around. But if you don't, you might as well get away, because I'm going to testify anyhow. So that's it. You just got to let him know what side you're standing on, and then make your stand, and then stand. And that's just the way that we got to do always, is get to where we know that we're right. And then we've got faith in that. You can't have faith unless you're right. So don't try to do that to bluff him now. He won't take your bluff. See, don't bluff him. But when you really believe it, you're not bluffing then. Something is already witnessed to you. Then you're right. I don't care. You might not. No one never lay hands on you. You might not never hear anything. But just as long as something has confirmed it in your heart that it's God's word and God's will for you, that's all that's necessary. And many times these gifts and things, they just encourage. Friends, if we don't believe, the gift won't help anyway. Again, the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. He said, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. He's quoting Isaiah. Any of these things, those attributes of his death that we take in our heart and believe to be the truth and confess that he has done it before we feel anything about it, he's before God to make it right, to make intercession. If I was paralyzed and in my heart I believe he healed me, I'd confess that I was healed. If I couldn't move a muscle and I believed it, I'd confess that I was healed. And then if I mean that from my heart, not just mentally upset, but from my heart, if I mean that before God, he's making intercession upon my confession. That's right. And he has to bring it to pass. Just think of that. How many knows that's true? Hallelujah. We can't go by feelings. Jonah didn't go by feelings. We're not going to go by feelings. Jonah didn't deny the seaweed, but he didn't consider it either. When your back hurts, you recognize the pain. That's probably one of the hardest things for people to... when your back hurts, that's all you can focus on. You're recognizing that pain. You feel that pain. But the pain is letting you know that there's a problem. But then you look away from the problem and turn instead to the solution, and you look to your high priest. And between clenched teeth, you say, I'm healed. Amen. And you say it until you walk in it. Amen. Oh, no, we don't want it that way. You know, we want a chiropractor to straighten it all out. Nothing wrong with a chiropractor, but I'd rather God straighten it out. If God takes care of my problem, it doesn't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter what symptom I'm experiencing. It doesn't matter what disease the devil tries to bring my way. Come on, friends. Again, he says, now in his presence, see, Hebrews 3:1, he said, he's the high priest of our confession, our profession. Profess and confess means the same words. Profess anything or confess anything. Confess means to say the same thing. If God said by his stripes we're healed, well then I say by his stripes I was healed. He said he bore my sins. I say he bore my sins. I don't have them anymore. He bore them. He said he healed me when he died for me at Calvary with his stripes. I'd say he healed me there. I believe it right now. I accept it. That settles it. And now no matter how I feel, how it looks, if I'd say, well now look, you say you're healed and look right. Look at your body. Well, that don't have a thing to do with it. Not one thing. God said so. It ain't what I can see, it's what I believe. How many knows that's true? Again, he says, somebody said, you lied, Brother Branham. No, I never. I believe that when Jesus died, he healed me. Amen. I accepted it, and it had to be so. I wasn't confessing what I felt. I was confessing what I believed. I believe his word was eternally the truth. It couldn't pass away. It was absolutely the truth, and my feelings had nothing to do with it. That's right. That's the way I accept him for my salvation. I'm not saved tonight because I feel happy. That's not the reason I'm saved. I'm not saved because I shout. I'm not saved because I spoke in tongues. That don't make me saved. I'm saved tonight because I met God's condition of his Bible. That's right. God said so, and that's my faith. I'm just taking him at his word. I believe I'm saved because I done what he said. Jesus said, whosoever, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I believe it. I've accepted on those basis. That settles it. I'm saved. Satan could beat me around the stump with my feelings. A drunk man could come in and say, I feel just as good as you do, and he probably does. But he hasn't got the faith in the thing that I got. See, I'm saved not because I feel like it. I'm saved because I've met God's requirement. And you're healed the same way. Hallelujah. Can I got time for just two or three more? Okay, second miracle, he says, I know God's word is the truth. That's all. And I poured some more on top of that, and it laid right there till breakfast. And I had me two fried eggs and some more ham the next morning for breakfast. So this is another accounting of the same story where he's just piling it on. He's claiming his healing, so he's eating what he wants to eat. I kept on like that for week in and week out, and I was so nervous. And it looked like trees was running together, and they'd say, well, how you feeling, Brother Branham? And I'd say, wonderful. Hallelujah. Stomach bothering you anymore? No, sir. No, sir. Are you all right? Sure. I'm fine. I'm doing good. Well, how did it happen? The Lord healed me. He said, Brother Branham, you lied. No, I never. No, I never. When I accepted him as my healer, he healed me 1900 years ago. And it was settled in my soul. So no matter what this was here, in my soul it was settled. And I was testifying not how the body felt, what the old soul thought about it. And my spirit said, Christ is your healer. And I said, I believe you, Lord. And I stayed right with it. And one day I kept poking it down, and it all left. I eat anything I want to. Went on and I gained 35 or 40 pounds and I feel fine. Oh, he's a healer. But you'll have to show your faith in him. And don't you think that you're going to a picnic. You're going on a battleground. That's right. You're not on a picnic where everything is handed down to you in a silver spoon. If I must fight, I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. One more. The results of a decision. He says, we find out many times that people rely on their symptoms if they're prayed for. I was going to find the report from Brother Joseph. It was a brother in Chicago, the meetings in Chicago. He says, to see how many went away last night after a full week of gospel teaching on how to be healed, that went away and said, well, still got it. See? And you probably always will have it, see, if you feel that way. Faith don't see that thing. Faith sees what God says. Faith don't see any symptoms at all. Faith refuses to see the symptoms. It's not that you don't know that they're there. You just don't focus on them. And you're not claiming them as your reality. You say, well, Brother Branham, if they are there, shouldn't we say that they're there? No. No. No, sir. So I'm putting you on notice here tonight. Right? If you come up for prayer and you want to go through the first, second, third poll of your symptoms, I ain't listening to you. Right? Because those are lies. Those are lying vanities. Right? All I have to do is walk out those doors and I can see all the lies that the devil's telling. I can see all the horrible conditions that are out there in the world, but I'm not concerned about that. It's not my interest. My interest is in what the Word of God says. I'm from another kingdom. This is not my home. Right? I'm passing through. But I'm part of His family. I'm a son of God. And as a son of God, I have rights. I have privileges. There are things that He's purchased for me. He's written and read His will and testament. I am an inheritor. I am an heir. And I'm not going to, what good would it do for me to wait for the millennium to walk in these things? I won't need healing in the millennium. I won't need deliverance. I won't need encouragement. I won't need comfort. I won't have a struggle. I won't have a battle. I won't have a fight. I need everything that He has tonight. I need, and if you don't want what you have, give it to me. I need everything that God has. Amen. We need to take advantage of God's Word. We need to take Him at His Word. The highest compliment we can pay Him is to say, God, I believe Your Word. And sometimes we just know down in our heart that there's still a little question mark that's hanging there. But we're doing everything that we know to believe. Sometimes you just need to hold on to that and keep confessing it and keep confessing it until this guy up here lines up with this guy down here. And then it'll just drop in. How many knows that? Amen. It'll just drop in and it'll be like, whoa, there it is. There it is. It's mine. I don't care what happens. And you'll stick with it. You'll stay with it. And you'll walk in it. You won't know when your body's going to line up to it, but it will line up to it. It has to. It's God's Word. How many knows that's true? Friends, that's how it is with your salvation. It just dropped in your heart, right? And you felt a load lift off because you felt like you're no longer laboring against sin. You felt like you were forgiven. You felt like the price was paid and that you could go free. You knew it. Not your hope, but you have no evidence. There's nothing you can point to or poke to, but you believe it. It's the same way with your healing. It's the same way with any other promise of God.
Right.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How many knows this is true?
Amen.
Thou heardest my voice.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. It's time for us to put these things into action. Right? The only way that we grow from being children to being mature sons and daughters of God is by putting this to action. And it's not easier for some and harder for others. God's Word will work for anybody. How many knows that's true? There are laws that are in action here. If we meet His requirement and we know that we've met His requirement and we take Him at His Word, He'll fulfill His Word. We've got to, you know, it's like having a key that opens up a lock, right? You can come and try all the different keys that you want, attempt this and attempt that. But if you put in the right key, it's such a wonderful feeling. When you put the right key in the lock and turn it, there's no effort. Right? The door could be, 20 tons. It could be a door to a missile silo, right? That you can't open. But if you have the right key and you put it in there, I pushed on a silo door in a missile silo before, and a child could push it open. That's the way it's designed. It weighs, several tons. But it's set up in such a way that when it's unlocked, it doesn't take a lot of effort to cause that door to open, right? There are things that the Word of God opens up for you. And it takes very little effort, but you got to have the right key. And you got to put the right key in the lock, right? You got to meet God's requirements. You want the Holy Ghost? You got to repent. Truly repent. You've got to turn. Allow your heart to be turned. You got to repent with a sorrowful repentance. You got to get to the place where you say, God, I don't want to live. I'm not going to try to continue to live my life and then ask you to kind of help me along, like a genie in the bottle, kind of make my life a little bit better. And when I get into trouble, I'll call upon you. When things are going well, I'll tell you to get back in the bottle. That won't work. Right? You have to get to the place where you don't want to live without Him. That God, if you don't take me, I'm going to let go of the steering wheel of my life. And if you don't grab the wheel, I'm done. Right? I don't want to go on. I want you that bad. Right? And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And Peter said, who was given the keys to the kingdom, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Of course, you have to believe that. You have to confess it, right? But it'll happen. If you use that key, if you follow the scripture, right? Salvation, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, your salvation is in your own lips. Deliverance, healing, whatever it might be. How about the promise for your children? I know people that are claiming their children and they're not going on with the Lord. Right? Well, that's not the key. The key says, if you surrender, you give your heart to the Lord, you serve the Lord, the promise is unto you and your household, your home, right? You can claim your loved ones, but you can only claim them if you're using the right key. Well, God promised me that He'll save my children, but I'm not serving the Lord. Well, you don't have a promise. The promise is to believers. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But friends, these things work. Right? It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter where you can read or write. Doesn't matter what color, race, culture, language. Doesn't matter whether you have eyes or ears. You use the right key, God's word will open up for you. And He'll bring your body into subjection to His word. You don't have to make it happen. He'll make it happen. How many believes that? Amen. Hallelujah. How many can say tonight, I want to press into this more. I want to exercise this more in my life. I want to take God at His word, even if it's just some, one day at a time, one step at a time, but I want to put this into action. I want to exercise this. Friends, I'm a Methodist as far as the Methodist were true to a portion of the word. I'm a Baptist as far as the Baptists were true to a portion of the word. I'm a Pentecostal as far as, they didn't have everything wrong. That's right. Right? I'm a Methodist here tonight because there is a method to this. Yes. If I do what he says, I should expect results. If I take him at his word, he'll perform his word. That's the Methodist part, right? God will do the work, but I've got a part in this too. Right? I've got to be sane. I've got to be sincere. I've got to approach it with a sincere heart. And friends, it's okay. Don't let the devil hold you down tonight. It's okay to admit to yourself, you're not sure if you have that faith. You're not sure if that's real to you. Right? It's liberating to make that confession. Because then you can say to God, God, help. Help. I want that. I want to be that way. Help me. I need your help. Which one of you would turn your child away when they came to you with that kind of an approach? Mom, Dad, I don't know how to do this, but I need help. Which one of you are going to beat them down? You're not going to do that. You'll open your arms and you'll say, you know, I'll bankrupt our bank account. I'll do whatever I can to help you get through this. Right? But when we just go along and, you know, play pretend Christianity, let's don't do that. Or you know, the worst deception is self-deception. We lie to ourselves, right? If we recognize that we're hitting a stump, or we recognize that there's a barrier, well, just come clean. Yeah. Just tell the Lord. Don't tell the devil. Tell the Lord. Right. Devil will give you all kinds of bad advice and bad stories and whatever. The devil will try and say, well, that's because you're one of my kids, but why do you dislike him so much if you're one of his kids? Friends, he wouldn't want me in hell. Not only would I... Hell wasn't made for me. It was made for the devil and his angels. Right? But he really wouldn't want me in hell any more than he wants me in his Eden. Why? Because I'm a troublemaker. I don't want to play by his rules. I don't believe his word. I don't believe his testimony. I don't believe... He doesn't get to define who I am. Right? God already defined it. God already set my destiny. Right? So there's no love lost between me and the devil. I will say he's a good adversary, though. He's faithful. The wages of sin is death, and he's earning it. Right? He's on the job. He's doing everything he can, but I want to be on the job too. I want to be faithful in God's army. I want to be faithful. I want to take him at his word. I want to be faithful to say what his word says. And be silent where his word is silent. And if I have to press and press and press, I want to be faithful to do that. Knowing that God's word can't fail. Knowing that if I'm persistent, God's word, and also knowing that faith worketh patience. So it's actually in the design many times that things don't happen right away. Because God is adding something else to my life that can only come this way. Amen. Right? Faith worketh patience. Right? God knows what he's doing. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We are such a privileged people here tonight, friends. We have his word. We know what he wants done with it. We know that it works. It's been proven, overproven, vindicated, overvindicated. It's been more proven in this day than any other age. Now all we have to do is pick it up ourselves, put it in our own hand, and put it into action. How many would say tonight, Brother Doug, I just want to do this. I want to put more into it. I want to put God's word into action more in my life. Because I know that he'll perform it. I know that it'll be a better life. I know that it will cause me to grow. I know that it'll bring glory to him. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we're just so thankful for these reminders. We're so thankful, Lord, for the instruction that comes from your word. Lord, we know that the purpose of preaching is... By the foolishness of preaching, we know that many things are accomplished. what the world would call foolish to you is great. What the world calls great to you is just foolishness. We know that what the way up in the world's mind is actually the wrong direction, because the way up in your mind is down. You demonstrated that yourself. You came to this earth and you became the servant of us all. You condescended to become the foot washing flunky, as the prophet would term it. You took the lowest place. You took the form of a servant. And yet you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no one greater. All power and honor and glory belong to you. But yet, Lord, you just, contrary to how the world would describe things, you took the exact opposite of what the world would look for in what they call greatness. And then you told us, except we be as little children, we shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. And you told us, you see what I've done to you, my disciples. Now I want you to go and do it to one another. In this regard, we know that the life that we're living is a life of service. We know that it's promised that to the overcomer that will rule and reign, will sit with you in your throne, even as you have overcome and are seated in your Father's throne. We know that that's our future, but we know that the path there is a humble path. We know the path is not one where we're looking for credit, where we're looking to be somebody, we're looking for all men to speak well of us. In fact, we know it's on the contrary. We know that taking this path, we know that it's the path of the despised few. We know that there's suffering. We know that there's trials. We know that there's sorrows that come along the way. But we also know, Lord, at the very same time, if we never did serve you, we would still have suffering and trials and heartaches in this life, because this is a life of death. Everything is falling and things are out of whack. Things are not as they should be. We're in Satan's Eden. We know that the prince of the power of darkness is ruling the kingdoms of the world. So we know that whether we serve you or whether we don't serve you, that there's hardships that come in this life. But Lord, we know that if we do serve you, it's the best life that there is. That we can have joy and peace and comfort and rest in the midst of all that we're going through. Knowing, Lord, that we're safe and secure in you. Knowing that you're with us. That we're in a walk with you. Knowing, Lord, that you've given us exceeding great and precious promises. You've given us an inheritance. Knowing, Lord, that we can cash in on that, on things that you've already provided for us, you've already done for us. That we can line our confession up with your word, and we can see those things manifested in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of others, the people that we come in contact with, the people that we hold out for, the people that we pray for, that we believe in, that we share this bread of life with, those that will receive it. Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, we ask that you'd help us, each and every one, wherever we're at in our walk, Lord, help us to take you at your word and apply that word on a daily basis in our lives, Lord. It's not that we aren't doing it, as of course we are. That's the walk of a Christian. That's one of the things that makes our lives different from those of the world, is that we're taking you at your word and we're staying with your word and we have confidence in your word. But Father, may we be more faithful to take you at your word and Lord, confess what your word says and not what our symptoms declare to us, not what our circumstances declare. Lord, instead of talking about all the things that are going this way or that way with work, our confession ought to be that you promised us peace, you promised that you'd walk with us, that you'd go with us, that you'd comfort us, that you'd guide us. that our lives are in your hands, that Lord, that you're in control of those that have the rule over us, that those that we work for, that Lord, they're in your hands and we're in your hands, Lord. So whom should I fear? Though an host should encamp about me, whom should I fear? Lord, we're living in a time when there's diseases that are coming on the earth that we've never even heard of before. And it seems like worse and worse things. And we know that man is broken into your great laboratory and is actually modifying things that he has no business playing around with. And we know that man always destroys himself. So we know, Lord, that to the natural mind, it's a scary time. But if we're safe in you, Lord, you've given us promises. And we can take you at your word. And we're so thankful for that tonight, Lord. We want to do that more and more. We want to be more and more faithful, Lord, to stand upon your word, to take you at your word, to face down what the devil is declaring is our reality, to face down circumstances, to face down feelings, symptoms, whatever it might be. And instead, Lord, to proclaim what your word says and to see it come to pass in our lives. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Help us tonight, Lord, each and every one of us. Lord, there's no big I's and little U's here tonight. There's your children. There's your offspring. And each and every one of us, Lord, we want to serve you. Each and every one of us, we want to grow and we want to see your word manifested in our lives. We want to walk in these exceeding great and precious promises that you've given to us. Father, may we be encouraged to step out in faith. And Lord, if we should find that the faith isn't quite there, may we have the courage, Lord, to just come clean, Lord, to you and say, Lord, help us. Give us the faith. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. That Lord, may we say, I believe your word with all that I know how to believe. I help any unbelief that I might have. Drive away any shadow of doubt that may linger. And I'll take you at your word. Won't you grant it here tonight, Lord? Bless each and every one, Lord. May each one of us be challenged to look at our lives and see, Lord, if there are areas, things that roadblocks that we've hit, that maybe we just go around these things. Maybe we just have gotten to the place where we've become numb to it or kind of accepted it, or maybe we're thinking somewhere down the road that something will happen or something will take place. But Lord, may we have the courage tonight to look those things in your word, Lord. Look at what your word declares about those things. And then Lord, to take your word and apply it to whatever the situation might be in our lives and see your word come to pass. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We commit ourselves into your lovely hands, Lord. The safest place that we could ever be is in your hands. It's the best place, Lord. It's the most peaceful place that there is. There's no better place to be. Bless each and every one is my prayer, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Seven redemptive names, Jehovah Shammah. You are with me, Lord. You are with me. You supply. You supply. I confess that tonight, Lord. Jehovah.